but the dream also turns into a nightmare.
You hear that? The dream also turns into a nightmare.
I used to think that a cross was protecting too. Like people think,
yeah, it's like a superstition, like a good luck charm. Yeah.
If you look at the music industry all around the world, even rock, pop, whatever it is, with a beat behind it, poetry. Man, it's funny because Napoleon Mutar actually tried to talk to me about Islam a few times, and I rejected it, like a lot of people, and I remind myself to this day. And I see all these names in the Quran, Jesus, Moses. I'm familiar with these, and I have a big cross on my chest, even when I was Christian. People that say they're Christian should really listen and try to understand the Quran, because if you're really Christian and you believe, then you will believe in it. In the Quran, and I end up saying La ilaha illallah ashhadu anna Muhammadin rasulullah.
This is
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing, my brother? Greetings of peace. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. How you been?
Assalamu alaikum to Allah.
You reminded me of, you guys remember our brother Napoleon, who was with the Outlaws. Now you remember Tupac Shakur. You remember him? Yeah, I remember you. Most of you do. You're still listening to his songs. You shouldn't be. Why are you doing that, man? Come on now. You got to rise to the next level. And you did. You rose above all that.
Yes, sir.
And you actually... You know Brother Napoleon, right?
Yes, my big bro right
now,
there.
Now, let's let the cat out the bag. How are you connected to Tupac? So you got Tupac, you got Napoleon, the Outlaws. Yes, how do you fit in all this?
I was about 15, 16 years old when I first met Tupac Shakur.
You kind of, he does kind of looks like Tupac, huh?
Yeah, I heard that all my life, mashallah, man. Pac was a ladies' man, so, I'm not living that lifestyle anymore, but I'm struggling still with certain things. You know, the struggle is beauty, because with struggle comes patience, sacrifice. This is how you get to Jannah, through struggle.
Yeah.
Anything easy, we want to try to stay away from it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked.
So now around 15 years old?
Okay, 15, I met through Big Psych and Manute. I was able to meet Tupac.
So at 15 years old, you're meeting Tupac, and this was like the mic. We can say Tupac was, or is considered like Elvis Presley was the king of rock and roll, Michael Jackson was the king of pop music, mm-hmm. and Tupac was, I mean, can you safely say he's definitely the king of rap music, hip hop?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're meeting now the what would people would consider a legend in the hip hop world.
Yes, and I was nervous. I never told Tupac how I truly felt about him. It was more of a act like I was used to the situation type of thing.
But how did the circumstances happen that you're actually getting to meet him?
Okay, my father, girlfriend's son, name is Manute. He didn't rap, but Big Psych was Manute's friend. Psych rapped. Psych is one of Tupac's very close partners and rap friends. Because they older than me, of course.
Yeah.
Tupac is like 7 years older than me. So once I heard that Tupac was messing with Big Psych and Manute, I knew that because I can get myself around a situation being close dime to them, Psych and Manute. And next thing you know, just like this, I said, man, I wonder, when I seen the Dean show, I'm like, man, I want to get on that, you know? But I'm like, how? Do I call? I said, you know what? I'm going to let Allah, inshallah.
So this is back in now, Jahiliyyah, before Islam. Yes. You're saying now that you're making...
This is how I looked at Tupac.
That's how you look. How can I hook up
with this guy?
Okay.
Who girls are laughing, saying I look like?
Yeah.
Because back then, when I was coming up, dark skin wasn't really too popular.
Yeah.
It was the light skin guys, you know.
Okay.
So a couple girls and guys would say, "Ah, you look like Tupac."
Yeah.
So next thing you know, I seen him on TV and I kind of liked it. I'm gonna say, man, I wonder how can. And then when I found out that Psych and Manute was around him, I said, wow, I wonder how can I get myself around this.
Psych and Manute, who are they?
These are guys how I met Tupac. These are.
Are they rappers also?
Yeah, Manute wasn't a rapper. He was a street guy. But Psych, which was Manute's friend, he rapped.
People know who listen to this stuff?
Big Psych. He passed away 2 years ago. But he was part of the Outlaws and Thug Life too.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I met Tupac through these two guys.
Yeah.
And I'm 15 years old. And that's how I eventually met Napoleon through that, because we was all younger than Tupac and Psych. These are older guys,
yeah.
But we was no young pups trying to hang around.
Okay, so what happens? Fast forward now. So how? So that's when you met him, and now how did you end up in a group that, you know, the Outlaws is like a, what is that, a subgroup now? That's like, you know, you have the famous rapper, and then they want to make more money.
Yeah.
So now they get groups out of them, yeah. Right? So they can manufacture more records, get more, because it's all about the Benjamins.
Yes, sir.
Who was singing that? All About the Benjamins? Is that Biggie?
Yeah, that's Puff Daddy. And
Puff Daddy. We don't want to mention Puff Daddy because they were the opposites, right? They're at the East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, but you know, I'm past that now.
Okay.
he's still running around doing the same thing he's been doing. And may Allah guide him, or, you know.
Which one? Puff Daddy?
Puff Daddy. Yeah.
Yeah. May the Creator guide all of them. Yes.
Yeah.
So now what happens? So now how do you end up in this group with Napoleon? My brother Napoleon, how you doing? I miss that brother, man.
Marshall,
he's an amazing brother. Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so now Napoleon, do you still stay in touch with him?
Of course.
Yeah?
All the time. We talk. I follow him on Instagram. I've been to Saudi Arabia, mashallah. When I went to Dubai, he picked me up from the airport.
Mashallah. That's our brother. We've had him on the program a few times.
Yeah, I seen him when he was on there. That's when I said, man, they got to get H. Rodder on there, man.
So that's what your name was. H what?
H. Rodder.
H. Rodder. So we got H. Rodder from the Tupac crew, from the Outlaws. So how did you end up now in the Outlaws?
Okay, so...
Which actually sold how many? Like 60, was it 60 million records or something? How many did something
up
like?
Under Tupac. After Tupac died, a lot of things changed, obviously, because he was the main head of the body. You know what I'm saying? And so once Pac, you know, we lost Pac, it was just everything just changed. But Tupac used to actually ask me to rap when I was 15, 16 years old, and I was nervous. I didn't come out of my shell until Tupac died, and then the Outlaws, you know, there was already a group, but they grabbed me, put me on their first album they put out, and things, like I said, when Tupac passed away, things was just very, we was all young, we all under 21.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to be the little homies, me and Napoleon's little brother named Mill, and they were supposed to be like the big guys, the big brothers now, but they was only a year or two older than us. And I feel like we was all immature at that time. So
I mean, but that's the dream. A young youth now. That's who they're looking at. They're looking at these hip-hop stars. That's what they want to be like, right? That's what they want to emulate, copy. Mm-hmm. So now for you guys to be actually around people like that, that's like the dream, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It was. But the dream also turns into a nightmare.
You hear that? The dream also turns into a nightmare.
Yes. And this is for, if you look at the music industry all around the world, even rock, pop, whatever it is, with a beat behind it. Poetry, it's halal. If y'all like to love words so much, do poetry without a beat, then it's halal. If you stay away from the beat, it controls people, it makes people move and do all this stuff, and this is what makes the music hot on.
Yeah.
You know?
So what happens now? So how do you end up in this group, and how did you get from living that lifestyle to actually now living the lifestyle that actually is, if any African American goes to his roots, even he watched the movie Roots and he looks at Kunta Kinte, he's calling upon the Creator, Allah, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, anyone who went back to their roots, and there's a deep history with the African American people and there originates in Islam. So how did you come back to the natural way to Islam?
Man, it's funny because Napoleon Mutar actually tried to talk to me about Islam a few times and I rejected it, like a lot of people, and I remind myself to this day that when we give dawah, we have to be patient, and we have to, especially people who not born in this religion. A lot of people are born into Islam, so it's easier for them to listen and accept certain things when this is foreign to a lot of people. And I became Muslim. I didn't go to prison. I didn't get shot up. You know what I mean? I was healthy on all 10 toes and doing a lot of things, and somehow, I'm not going to say somehow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose me, and I seen a sign with my eyes, literally. I'm going to tell you exactly what I saw. I saw a crescent moon with the star, like a perfect, like the things that you see on the flag, I seen it in real life during Ramadan, which was 2004. My birthday is November 30th. And it was towards the end of Ramadan. I wasn't Muslim yet. I had no understanding of Islam. But I knew about, obviously I seen this crescent moon before and the star that's next to it. So on my birthday, I actually seen this sign, and I had a choice because I was out partying that night. And I had a choice. Someone called me. Long story short, when I went and seen what I saw 10 hours later, it still wasn't good enough for me to understand what that fully meant. I knew that was something special, but I'm not going to say that that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly God, because that one situation didn't really convince me, because once I woke up, I was ready to get back to the dunya, even though I saw the star and the crescent moon, right? But Allah knows his slave. So I went to Walmart. My mother and family came in town that day because it was my birthday, and my mother, you know, offered to clean my house. Not like, you know, not like that, but for a birthday. She said, I was a bachelor at the time, living by myself, and she said, I want to clean your house for your birthday. So we went and got a vacuum cleaner, and two men approached me, and they asked me, can we talk to you for a minute? And I said, yes, sir. Why? What's going on? And they said, we've been alerted that you have a restraining order against you from one of our employees in the store. You're not supposed to be such and such feet from them. So I said, wait a minute. When you have a restraining order, the person knows about it, correct? So I never knew I had a restraining order in my life. So I tell the two gentlemen that approached me that this is a mistake, and I don't have a restraining order, and show me the individual that's saying I have a restraining order against me. And they took me to this woman. She looked me dead in my face and said, yes, that's him. So I'm like, wait a minute. This is, remind you, I seen what I seen about 10 hours ago. So I go in the back. They find out it's not me. They run my name and say, okay, we're sorry. We made a mistake. But you have a traffic ticket, and we call Metro, and you have to go to jail. So I'm like, wait, I just told you this wasn't me. You made a mistake in identity. This is my birthday. I showed you today is November 30th. I show you my ID says November 30th. And they still took, it was taking me to jail. So I was a little frustrated. When I get to jail, it wasn't prison, because I don't want people to think, oh, you went to prison and became, no, that's not what happened. But God sent me to jail for about 10 hours. Out of those 10 hours, as I'm telling, you know, everyone goes to jail and they're innocent. I don't know if you've been to jail, hopefully not, but when people go to jail, you ask them, what you in there for? They like, man, I ain't do nothing. This is everyone's story, right?
Yeah.
But I really didn't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, long story short, they, as I'm in jail and I'm telling my story to a person, all of a sudden I get the vision of the star and the crescent. So I stop. I had to quit telling the story. And I pondered and said, wait a minute. All of a sudden, I seen this miraculous sign, and all of a sudden, I'm in jail for something. I couldn't even control me getting here. I knew, I put two and two together and said, this is from God. Even though I wasn't Muslim, I knew this was some spiritual situation. So when I got out of jail, which is only 10 hours, I bailed out, and the person that picked me up, I told him to take me to the library. Immediately, I didn't want to go eat food. I didn't want to go nothing. Just take me to the library. Something's deep in my heart right now. Go to the library, I go to the Middle Eastern section, pick up some literature. The Quran, for example, I think was first. And I see all these names in the Quran, Jesus, Moses. I'm familiar with these. I have a big cross on my chest. Even when I was Christian, I was not the angel, but I love God.
So you were like most people, and this is not to cause offense to any of our Christian friends out there, anybody in humanity, but you see many of the rappers and many of people doing opposite to the teachings of Jesus, mm-hmm. and the prophets and God, but they wear, you know, certain emblems, yes. right? They'll wear the cross, the moon and the star, all
out
these
of,
things.
Out of ignorance.
And out of ignorance, they end up doing things. So you were wearing the cross.
Thinking, because we were told.
Just like 50, you know, your boy 50?
Yeah.
You ever met 50 Cent?
Nah.
But he'll have the cross, and others will, out of ignorance, they'll have the cross, and it becomes more like a good luck charm or something, mm-hmm. right? So then what?
Long story short, that I used to think that a cross was protecting too. Like people think.
Yeah, it's like a superstition, like a good luck charm is going to protect you. So, the only one that can protect you is the one who created you.
Yes. But I brought that up to say, and let me say this too for the record. I don't want people, you know, shout out to Christianity. And I always, because Allah says in the Quran, a true Christian, when he hears the words of his Lord, he would know that this Quran is from his maker.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So people that say they're Christian should really listen and try to understand the Quran, because if you're really Christian and you believe, then you will believe in the Quran, and just fix the little difficulties that you're struggling with Christianity. This is why people don't go to church and things of this nature, because the doctrine has been tampered with.
The Trinity and all the teachings, the theology.
So people actually believe in God, but they just don't believe in the doctrine. So you find them not struggling to go to church.
You were struggling with that also?
Of course. I believed in God. I love God.
Important point. To many people struggle with the same issues,
But Islam, now, I go to the masjid every day.
Yeah.
Where in Christianity, you go once a week and you still don't go.
Yeah.
You offer to come just once a week and you still can't come. We be at a concert, we rapping, singing songs, everything, and you still won't show up. It's entertainment. If they show me how God, Jesus, or Moses, or any of the prophets, may God, peace, and blessing be upon them, if they show me any time that they worship God in this manner, then I will come to church.
So like most of the rappers and people in general, they believe in God, but there's no structure, there's no blueprint, and then you're confused over here with the theology, and nothing is straightforward, cut and clear, so you start making up your own thing as
you go. You got that powerful dunya right there.
And then you got the material world.
Yeah, right? So you can forget about it.
So what happens now? You're wearing the cross, and then what happens?
So I read the literature.
The Quran?
I see Jesus, Moses, Noah, Adam, all these names that I'm already
in the Quran, verbatim
with.
Word of God.
I'm already familiar with these words, because that's why I say I don't want to talk bad about Christianity, because if it wasn't for Christianity, I wouldn't have understood who those names were.
Yeah, so we're not putting down anybody. We're not putting you down,
but you have to grow.
You got to go from white belt to blue belt. From GED to high school to college.
Even in Islam, we're still growing until the day we leave this earth. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said this deen is like sipping from the ocean. So we have to be aware and understanding and know how much knowledge you get, humble yourself, and not only that, you can tell the knowledge you have by the people that you have given shahada. This is how I like to look at it, because if you have all this knowledge, then you will be giving shahadas, you will be helping and teaching people. This deen is not about learning Islam, sitting in the corner rocking back and forth and think you're going to heaven. This is not what this is about. So now what happens now?
So you're learning about the clear message of pure monotheism, connecting it with all the messengers of God. They're in the Quran. It's really anybody who looks at it sincerely, genuinely, it's so captivating. Believable message, proof, evidence beyond what any reasonable person needs. So what happens next?
About 2 months later, I end up saying, La ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadin rasulullah.
That is.
But
powerful.
I studied first. Like I said, I went.
You studied. There's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth, and Muhammad is the messenger, just like Jesus, Abraham, Moses. Before him, they all brought the same message. Worship the one God. What happens next? So you say the Shahada?
I say the Shahada, become Muslim, and 14 years later, here I am. And I'm still struggling with a lot of things, but the difference is I don't want these youngsters to get discouraged. Yes, you're going to mess up. You're still messing up. I understand. I am too. So we don't want to feed these youngsters that they have to be perfect to be Muslim.
No.
You know, you're going to make some mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you didn't make mistakes, I will wipe you out and create a people who did call upon me for the sake of my mercy that they messed up. This is our purpose. We're not angelic form creatures. We are human beings. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that humans are made from clay, and we have intellect and desires. The angels are made from light. They have intellect with no desires. The animals, they have desires with no intellect. Now, if the human being was to put his intellect over his desires, we'd be lined up with the malaika, with the angels on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah. If the human being puts his desires over his intellect, we'll be lined up with the animals on the day of judgment.
So what advice? Now you accept Islam, it's a struggle. Life is a jihad, it's a struggle. Struggle to stay upright, to be doing what the Creator wants you to do, but He's the most loving, most merciful. You make a mistake, you turn back. And
yes,
the GPS
time
is set on Jannah. So you do your best to be the best human being possible that you can be, living by God Almighty's guidance, not by your desires. You fall short, but you keep turning back to God. So what advice now do you have? The message, because you live that life of the rap industry, of having the, instead of the adhan, you know, the call to prayer, shaitan's adhan, right? Music, you know, the industry, you know, that life, glitz and glamour, fame and money and all, you know, everything that, the bling bling.
Just stay in the middle, my best advice. You're gonna have some desires that overwhelm you, which is cool. Allah gave you that right. But just taste it. Don't get wrapped in it. It's one thing to taste something, you know, but don't get full to the point where you've gaining weight from it. You know what I'm saying? This is how life is. We all want to. Curiosity is what makes a human being. It's okay. We're forgetful people. We're made to forget. But I don't want you guys to think that just because you listening to music and you let the shaitan give you an excuse to not to pray. Because once you, praying is the main thing. If you hold on to your prayer, you can be, you good.
What about people, to get people now, you know, some of the rappers out there, the 50 Cents, you know, some people who never looked into Islam. Why should they look into Islam?
Because if they see, it's tricky because even if a, like it says, the saying goes, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you, no one can take you from this path. If Allah doesn't guide you, no matter how many times we tell them, it's not going to happen. It's actually what's in the heart. So these, a lot of people want this worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, he give these people what their heart want. Their heart wants the worldly life, and that's what they're getting. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we look at these people and say, man, what God do they serve? I want to serve 50 Cent God. He got a private jet, all this stuff. But we have to remember what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. For those who struggle, Allah loves more. I'm not saying you can't have money, but the money, Allah knows us better than we know ourselves. Some of us, if we have money, we will, not only will we not pray, our hearts will become hard as this table. And Allah doesn't want that for us, so he keeps the money from us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But we want it so bad. No, Allah, I'm different. I'm going to handle it. And okay, and give it to us, and then, you know, yeah. It's sad.
What I often leave people with is the homework to understand that just like Biggie, he was at the top of his game, but he's gone.
At the top.
He was at the top. He had the money and fame on everything, but he died. We're going to die. Tupac, same thing, at the top, and he's dead. So think about death, and I leave people with this homework, and you did it. And anyone that I've talked to and interviewed, most people like you did, I'm sure at one point now you ask the Creator alone to guide you. Very simple homework. Ask the one who created this universe, everything in it, the one who created Tupac, the one who created Biggie, the one who created the sun, the moon, and Jesus. Jesus asked, the one God to guide you. Yes. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Guide me to the way of life you want me to be upon. That's simple, huh?
Yes,
did
sir.
You do that?
Yes, I did. And I'm still doing it. And my mother, my biggest shahada that I give was my mother. I witnessed my mother become Muslim. She used to tell me she was covered by the blood of Jesus. She used to tell me I was on the wrong path. We used to argue about it. I said, you know what? Because me and my mother had a difficult relationship, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I read the verse that I'm in debt to the wound that bore me, I had to change that relationship. I had to fix it, and I had to try to not do as I feel, you know what I'm saying? So that alone was the guidance, and these are the things I mean. Islam is a way of life. It teaches you how to use the restroom, how to wipe yourself, what to eat, everything. We all need this. We are creation, so we need an instruction manual to operate this creation.
Yeah.
And that's what the Quran is. Alhamdulillah.
Beautiful. So you have another example. We've interviewed many who live that lifestyle. They're running away from it to come to the deen, to come to this way of life from the Creator. Why are you running towards what they're running away from? So we left you a few things. Remember the reality of death. It's coming. Second is ask the Creator for guidance alone, and look at the verbatim word of God, the Quran. Look at the evidence upon evidence, the signs and signs that are there. I want to thank you so much for being with us here on the Deen Show. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. We started with peace. We end with peace. Peace be upon you. This is the greeting of Jesus, Moses, and all the messengers of God.
Let me say one thing about this brother right here, man. May Allah bless him and his family.
Amen.
Because he's doing, you know, this is a, first of all, the idea is beyond, like, this the thought of having a show that speaks on the deen and people's struggles in everyday lives, and trying to, you know, have people looking up to so many people that have nothing that benefits us. We look for these people, like I said, that have money. That's it. They go into the grave, they don't take the money with them. This money is the root of distractions. This money makes you forget yourself. The poor will enter heaven 700 years before the rich. So why do we want money? That's my question. I struggle with this thing too. I want money. And I'm like, why? Why do I want money? Am I going to feed the people? Am I going to build masjids? And I fight myself every day. Inshallah, if Allah does give me this money, I treat it right. So when I'm in my grave, it will benefit me. And I go off that note. But what I was saying about this brother, man, Allah bless him. He's a beautiful brother. He's touching a lot of people's lives. Not because he's getting paid to do it. Like everyone else in this life, everything they do is about money. This guy's doing this he's taking his time out and he's doing the things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah bless him and guide his family. Inshallah. Ameen.
Thank you, my brother. JazakAllah khair. Barakallahu feek. And thank you. I hope this has been of benefit. Continue to tune in here to the Deen Show. We'll see you next time, God willing. Inshallah. Don't forget to do the homework.